Welcome to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph, as she explores the ever-changing music industry with today's top creatives, artists, and executives. Enjoy these fun and informative conversations with a little bit of love thrown in along the way.
Welcome to For Love and Music with me, Tara Joseph. Now, I just love it when I start my day chatting to an old friend back in the UK. And today is one of those days. So let's welcome to the show successful TV presenter and, for those in the US, TV host and successful actress, the fantastic Donna Eyre. Donna, hi, how are you?
Hi, Tara. How's it going?
Oh, it's going okay. But more importantly, how's it going for you?
Oh my goodness, you were so lucky to be in LA. You do not want to be in London right now.
Really? I mean, I got to say, lockdown's pretty bad here, but is it worse, do you think, for you there in London with the grey weather? Probably.
Well, we know, obviously, we're keeping in touch with our American friends and we're sharing stories back and forth. So we always used to be like, oh, they're getting it really bad in America. And I'm chatting to my friends and, oh boy, that was nothing. Yeah, we've had every strain of the virus and we're all locked in our homes. We're not allowed out. Have you got anything open in LA?
Well, everything has been shut for quite a long time here. I mean, you can get takeaways from restaurants, but like hair salons, like I really need my roots doing right now. So don't look at my roots. People, she can see me and I can see her. You just can't see either of us.
That's a good thing. Thank the Lord for podcasts.
Yeah. So I'm just like buying all of those, you know, do it yourself, grey root touch up things from the equivalent of Sainsbury's.
Oh my goodness. I know I did think about that today, but then we've had quite a lot of snow in London, in the UK, with a lot of snow all over the country this weekend. And everybody was so happy to see the snow. It's like the first snowfall, because it's every little thing is a moment of joy right now. So given this big snowfall, I haven't even been able to get to the pharmacy today and I'm running out of food supplies.
Oh my goodness. I mean, do you have a lot of snow in London right now?
Yeah, it looks beautiful when it's here. It's sort of like a scene from Holiday, the movie, you know?
It's
so charming. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it won't last long and we don't really cope very well with snow. But actually, neither do the Americans. You guys don't cope well with heavy weather.
What I've discovered since I've lived in LA is the Los Angelians don't know how to cope with rain. So you'll have a meeting scheduled with someone and they'll go, oh, so sorry, it's raining. It's just, I just can't deal with it. And they'll cancel the meeting because they can't deal with the rain. It's like, you know what, love?
Yeah.
Toughen up a bit.
Yeah, that's quite funny.
But so I'm so excited to chat to you. Obviously, we've known one another for years and years and years and years. And I want to go back right to the beginning, where it all started. And from the ripe old age of being 10, wasn't it? Isn't that when you started like acting and you were on that show for CBBC Biker Grove? Explain to our American listeners a little bit about that and the phenomenon surrounding that.
Absolutely. So for all you guys in the US, I met Tara over 20 years ago. In the 90s, when it was all, you know, it was Cool Britannia, everything in the UK and in Britain was on fire in the 90s. It was so much fun. We had the fashion, the creative, the artistic scene, everything was just at its best in the 90s in the UK. And it was so much fun. Do you remember the fun we all had?
I do remember. And Donna, you were very much sort of in the middle of it all. I mean, you must have sort of amazing memories from that time. Are there any memories that really stand out?
There's a few. Yeah.
What are the ones that you can share with us?
I will share a few. So I remember arriving in London. I was a girl from Newcastle. So I grew up in the northeast of England and I was in a children's show. So I was a child actor and I grew up on film set. And I was quite excited by that because I didn't have to go to school. And I was homeschooled on set. And then obviously at the grand old age of 15, I was too old for the kids show because I got boobs. So they wrote me out. And
that was Biker Grove. Is that right?
Biker Grove. So I starred in that and I played Charlie Charlton for 5 or 6 years alongside another British a British duo that you might know also in the US is Ant and Dec.
Love them.
Oh, good. So we all grew up and it was very much a sort of, you know, it was the birth of a few of us. So we all moved to London. And then, yeah, so I was 18, living in London in Primrose Hill. And I then went to work for MTV. So
I think that's around the time we met.
Exactly. So I had a daily music show where it was live and I was doing sort of 2 hours live TV for MTV. And then I was doing another 2 hours live in the morning on the Big Breakfast show. So it was a lot of live TV and it was a great training ground to really learn what it is you do. So whilst we were working very hard, as you know, Tara, we were also playing very hard. And it was a hugely creative and exciting time. You know, when I look back actually in my MTV studio, we were all just starting out and learning our craft. And none of us really knew what we were doing, but it was a very anarchic time in television. And some of the people who were just starting and were interns there, all are now heads of channels, and they're all some of the best people in the business. So it was a really exciting time to be around all of this emerging talent, of which I guess I was also part of. And a lot of hosts who then went on to do lots of stuff, we all sort of developed what we were doing at MTV. And of course, we also got to hang out with a lot of rock stars and film stars. And I was living near the MTV studio, and we also had a famous street in North London where there was lots of very famous musicians and Brit artists. I mean, Oasis are probably the most notorious, Liam and Noel Gallagher. So they were my neighbors down one side of the street. We also had, you know, there was a lot of great groups forming in the 90s, like the Spice Girls, who you guys know, All Saints, who we have our mutual friends with.
So there's all
collections of musicians, artists, actors. You know, we had Jude Law was just starting his career, as was Sadie Frost and Johnny Lee Miller. So we were all just thrown into this pot in London.
It was sort of an incredible time, wasn't it? So much talent and so much like fierce energy.
Yeah, it was like an incubator. And what was so exciting about it was, you know, there's a lot of talk about diversity now, but I think in the industry, we're definitely one industry where there's always been a lot of diversity. And what was so great about the 90s was we were all very diverse in a sense. We were all from very different backgrounds and we all just collected in London because we loved what it is we were doing. And the other great thing about the 90s was there was no iPhones, thank goodness.
Yeah, you're so right. Oh my God. Imagine if there had been.
I don't think any of us would be working still all these years later if there was iPhones.
Oh, you're so right.
But the great thing about that was we were so not aware about, we were just working hard and all we wanted to do and all we did do was just have fun. And it was, especially, you know, when we see what's going on in the world now, we were so lucky to experience that where we all just had so much fun. And back to your question about the stories. I mean, honestly, I had this little sort of studio apartment in Belsize Park, which is just up above Primrose Hill. And it was just crazy because it was always an evolving party when people finished their shows or their performances. I mean, there was always somebody buzzing on my buzzer, my intercom. I mean, I think we had Jerry Springer show up one night. I think, you know, Jude and Sadie were always somewhere breakdancing, or, you know, there was always something fun and always a little bit offbeat going on. And that was just London in the 90s. And then you'd have Alexander McQueen pop around, or you'd have, I mean, you were there.
I was there to a degree, but I don't think live it quite as much as you guys did. But the experiences that I did have will live with me forever. You know, obviously I was like the sort of, I was behind the scenes and you guys were all the in front of the camera, so to speak. So coming from the sort of, you know, being the sort of young agent on the block was a slightly different perspective, but was mind-blowing and so energizing. It was so energizing, you know, moving from representing actors to more being in the sort of music world was like mind-blowing. It really did. It was so exciting. And you had to be there to believe it.
It was such an interesting time. And one of the places when we all finished our long day at work, we'd head down to, there was a very famous bar on Park Lane called the Met Bar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember those days.
Which I guess was like the 90s version of Studio 54, right?
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, there would, you know, every night you'd go in there, there'd be, I don't know, like Madonna or Bono just casually having a drink.
What's happened to that place now?
Well, it's sadly no longer, but again, even the talent from there went on to do wonderful things, because the Met Bar was set up by actually somebody who's a dear friend of mine, a chap called Ben Pundle, who went to move to America way over 20 years ago, and he was headhunted by Ian Schrager. And then he went to set up all sorts of projects and really cool hotels in the States with Ian Schrager, and he's doing all sorts of interesting things now. So it wasn't just, it was in every industry, there was a birth of this talent. And Ben, in the hotel industry, he was responsible for creating all of these really amazing experiences and atmospheres.
You know what I think was so interesting is that even though everyone had the responsibility of their day job, you know, as you did with MTV and, you know, everyone did, there was so much energy and so much sort of, which is energy is the word that it, I guess everyone was burning the candles at both ends, but it didn't really sort of matter because no one sort of burned out. It just kept on going and there was no let up, but it was fine. Now, I think, bloody hell, you know, 20 odd years later, I like in bed with a cup of tea at 9 o'clock at night.
That's the joy of being a teenager and being so young, because we really were all young, very young. And yeah, we'd have all of these incredibly amazing experiences. But no, I don't think I've ever taken a day off work in my life. I've never missed a day off work.
When I was like looking, you know, doing my research on Donna Air, I also last night came across a music video that really made me smile. I thought, oh, that is just the best. So that was when you were, this is pre all of this, when you were in the group called Crush and you had a successful song out, Jellyhead, and you were touring the US at the tender age of like 15.
Yes, I did.
And yeah, I did my research.
Oh my God, you're good. And do you know what? That was when I fell in love with America. And okay. I was like, it was always my dream to live in America from being a very young age.
You had such attitude in that video. You really did. That was like, I know you were younger than when I first met you, but that was the Donna I sort of remember of,
oh my
like
God.
Back in the day, that attitude and the sort of, yeah, I could just see it in your face and your movements.
Oh my goodness. And now I've got a daughter the same age as I was in that video. So I'm getting a lot of that attitude back.
Has she seen that video?
She has, yeah. She kind of, it's so funny because as we know, all these fashions and trends come back around.
Yeah.
Oh, she loves all the stuff I used to wear in the 90s, you know, like the Dior thigh boots and the saddlebags, which have come around so many times. So there's all these like iconic fashion things. She's like, I can't believe you threw that out. You know, the silver trousers. But yeah, I had my brush with being a pop star and we came to America. And yes, weirdly, so we did quite an extensive tour of America. So I have got, I mean, they were my formative years really, because I would never have got to travel around the States. And we really did travel around the States. And
you were so young.
Yeah.
Did you have, you must have had a chaperone and.
I did have a chaperone and we used to have all sorts of ways to try and get rid of our chaperone.
Of course you did.
But it was so exciting, Tara. I mean, I remember the first time I went to Hollywood, I was like, oh, you know, because I'd seen it in movies and I'd watched lots of films and I just felt like I just, like many other people we know, just wanted to be there. And, you know, the first time I went to the Chateau Marmont and then we'd do gigs at the House of, was it the House of Blues? There was all these in the room and we used to get to do gigs in all these like notorious venues that I'd read books about, you know, when you read all these rock and roll biographies, like all the Danny Sugarman ones or the or the Doors books, No One Here Gets Out Alive, or Wonderland Avenue. I'd read lots of books about all of these bands doing these gigs. And so when we got to go there and perform, you know, we performed at Prince's, well, the artist formerly known as, his club, Diamonds and Pearls in Minneapolis. I was very privileged and able to, because of my work, get to go and see all of these places a girl from where I came from would never get to see. I didn't get a gap year, or, you know, my parents wouldn't have been able to send me around to see these places. So I figured this was my way to see it. And I just fell in love with America. I mean, not all parts, but I really loved it. And yeah, I mean, we had to stay in some interesting places.
Are you still in touch with your partner in that, in the duo?
Do you know what? We did reconnect, actually, because I think, you know, good old Facebook. We reconnected, and she's living in Canada now, I believe, with children. But I think we were estranged for a while. I think she went off with the bass player, and I may have had a thing with the drummer. I mean,
I love your honesty. It's just the best.
So, you know, we were very young and boys got in the way. And then, so actually when that all ended, so we toured America, and, you know, being in those tour buses in itself was an experience, because you just kind of sleep and you wake up and you're in another state. So that was really exciting. And I remember actually being in, you know, I was always spending my per diems, obviously, in the shopping malls, because when you used to go to Vegas and you had all these shops. And I remember calling home so many times because I'd spent all my per diems, and I was like, but I saw these shoes and Prada. And then there was another time I went to Gucci. Has Natalie Appleton out of the All Saints told you this story?
No, I haven't.
Because I was quite naive, you know, I hadn't seen the things I've seen now. But anyway, I went to Gucci, and I think we were in Vegas for a gig, and I saw these beautiful gloves, and I was like, oh, but I have to have them. They're going to look so cute in my next video. And I was so excited, and I'd spent, you know, all of my money on these Gucci gloves. I was only about 17. And I get to the airport, and we're just about to check in, and I open my box to put on my new gloves, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's like one in the box. So I'm like, We have to go back. I need the other glove. So I go stomping back into the mall in Vegas, and I'm like, you've only put one glove in the box. I was nearly at the check-in. Do you know I could miss my flight? You've got to really, and I was being a bit of a diva. You know, I was a bit, yeah, I was a teenager, stroppy teenager. And the guy just looked at me, he's like, to say, who is this British woman? And he was like, ma'am, it's a golf glove.
Oh my God, what a brilliant story.
Well, do I look like I play golf? He said, well, we can sell you another one. And I was like, well, what sort of, I was like, and he tried to sell me another.
That is hysterical.
And so this whole golf glove thing just became quite.
So what did you do? Did you take the one glove or did you give it back?
I think I took the one glove.
And did you ever take up golf?
I'm starting to now.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. So it's come in handy all these years later.
I don't have the glove, sadly. Oh. But there was we had all these kind of experiences, because also when I first started coming to America, I found people wouldn't really listen to, they're so busy listening to your accent, you know, the British accent. So I'd order like a milkshake and they'd give me something different because they were so busy listening to what I was saying. So in the end, I just started speaking American because it was easier and you get things done.
Yeah. No, totally. I completely appreciate that. I do find now that there are certain words that I say just because it's easier. Like you have to say XYZ. You can't say Z because no one knows what Z is. I find myself saying adult rather than adult.
Yeah.
And garage rather than garage.
Yeah.
It's just like there, but I try not to slip too much because I'm very proud of my British roots.
I do love the American accent. California and yeah, just all your R's and foreigner. It's just great. I have to say, I find the American accent very attractive.
Well, I can't wait till lockdown's over and you can come over here and we can go have some fun in LA.
Oh, I can't.
We have to do that.
Oh my God, do you know what? I was Googling last night. I was Googling houses in Malibu.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I'm thinking, I am just Cannot wait. I'm thinking I'm going to come over there. I'm going to do some work in the States, get to have some sunshine.
Yeah. So much fun. Come on, let's all get vaccinated as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And then let's make this happen.
I've seen enough of my house to last me a lifetime. And I've probably seen enough of Hyde Park for the rest of my life. I need to break out of here the first chance I get.
So listen, just going back to your, you know, your very successful TV presenting, hosting career. So MTV, The Big Breakfast, huge gig to get. How did you end up going from presenting into acting? Because you're such a great actress, and it would be great to share, you know, with everyone how that journey started. Because I know that's something that's very passionate to you and that's more your focus now than anything else, probably.
It is. Thank you. Yes, it is. Very much so. It's sort of typical, isn't it? It's quite often you go and try and experiment with all these things in life, and quite often you go full circle, which is what I feel I've done. I started off as an actress, and acting is always, it's my deepest passion. And there's no feeling like being on set. I just love that whole collaborative. I love every part that you go through with the character and with a great script. So yes, I am very focused that that's all I'm doing now. I'm not getting distracted anymore, because I've also been fortunate and I get offered lots of other things and I get quite excited by them and I end up doing them. And actually, yes, it's wonderful, but it also, time is very precious now. And you do get distracted from the things that you really love. So it is very important to me to focus on my acting and to work with really great writers. I've done a lot of fun stuff in my youth, but actually it's very important now to do work that has some purpose and really speaks to people and tells a story that is important to me. And I had a little, that was triggered actually, because I was working with a great writer on a series you get in America actually, but it was received very well in the UK. And it's a series called The Split. And it was written by Abby Morgan. And I think she's just a wonderful.
She's amazing.
Writer. She writes such great female characters, especially.
Nicola Walker. So, isn't it? Love Nicola Walker.
She's so, so great. So I got offered this show to do this, and I had taken a little step back from acting. I'm not sure why I had. I just did. And then I went back onto set to do The Split for the BBC, and something just was reborn in my everything, but it was reborn in a very different way, because I realized how much I love acting. And I was like, this is insane. I haven't done it so long. And B, the joy of actually doing work that speaks to people, and also realizing the responsibility of telling stories, because that's all we do, actors, we tell stories, but to communicate them in a real as way as possible, and to get scripts like that is such a joy. So I'm being very focused this time. I'm being very disciplined. I'm saying no, 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 and just going to try my very best to do the work of a similar ilk, which I'm excited about. So I'm just waiting for a script as good as that one.
Well, it's so exciting, and I'm sure many will turn up on your doorstep. Are there any particular directors or directors that you'd absolutely love to work with?
Oh my God. I mean, there's so many, isn't there? I mean, I grew up, you know, being in awe of all the classic directors, whether it was, David Lynch and Francis Ford Coppola. You know, there's all these incredible works of, you know, there's some brilliant directors. We're surrounded by so much great content now that it's, and what is also exciting actually is a lot of brilliant female directors out there. And there's a lot of great writers. So it's opening up now and it's a lot more balanced. We know this. So I'm excited to work with some really great women directors and some great female writers. And it's also opened up in a sense that we know things are more balanced in the sense that there's a better balance of ages and ethnicity in everything now. So I'm excited about that. I think it's a really exciting time to be an artist. I always worried that when you get to 40, because years ago you would have been over as an actress, and now it just seems the world's gone upside down, and now I'm actually getting really great scripts.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, the roles are much more interesting now. because A, there's a lot more women writing, there's a lot more women directing, and the roles in your late 30s and 40s start to get really interesting. And also, I think you can put a lot more into the performance because you've had a lot more experience and the brain thinks differently.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what your next project is.
Well, so am I. It just depends on if and when we can travel. It's so annoying. I had a great project last week, but currently we can't get out of the UK.
God, where is it supposed to be filming?
Yeah, I was meant to be filming in France for something. And I didn't mind sort of locating there at all, because obviously I'm aware you couldn't come back and forth. It's just where we're all at right now. And, you know, everybody in the industry has had to adapt a lot. But now with this closed UK corridor thing, I'm like, come on, we all need our vaccines and then we can get back to some normality.
Well, fingers crossed it soon. Fingers crossed.
How are you getting on with the vaccine rollout?
We just heard in the state of California that if you're 65 plus, you can now be vaccinated. And then for LA County, I am in group 1C, which is for 50 plus. So now that I'm 50, I am in group 1C.
That's amazing.
So old to say it. It's like you're nearly on your way out at 50. But yes, not anymore. Okay. No, actually, when you look at like J-Lo and Jennifer Aniston and Kamala Harris's number one fan, who's 56.
I was about to say congratulations on your new president and vice president.
It's just so great, you know, that over the past few days since, you know, Biden's been in power, so many executive orders have been signed that are undoing the damage that was done. You know, particularly I'm a strong believer in sort of equality and, you know, just, I mean, not going into it in any detail, but for like example, the trans community suffered so terribly under the Trump era. And now that it's the Biden-Harris era.
Today that they can now be in the army.
Exactly. Exactly. That should have never changed. So it's really exciting times, really happy times, you know, hopefully moving forward. But yes, absolutely. But I have another question for you. So you have a beautiful daughter. Are you happy to tell us a little bit about her? You look like sisters. You really look like sisters.
I do have a daughter who is an amazing young woman and quite an inspiration to me quite a lot of the time, actually, because young women today are very different. They're amazing, actually. They're really strong and they've already found their voice. They're sort of like, right. It took me a long time to find my voice and to be, no, this doesn't work for me. And it's just different today. And I think it's a very, very exciting time. You know, our daughters are definitely born into a very different time to be a woman. And I think that's very exciting. There's still obviously a way to go. But she, yes, has just started to become active and work. And she is very passionate conservationist like her father. So my daughter, she doesn't work. She lives and has grown up with very rare and endangered species. So all sorts of very rare monkeys, gorillas, tigers, rhinos.
How amazing.
And her father, Damien Aspinall, has worked tirelessly into breeding and reintroducing these species back to the wild to save them from extinction primarily. And he's on an incredible world global mission he's campaigning all the time, and Freya's obviously getting more and more involved in this work with her father. And he's trying to close down zoos around the world. He doesn't feel that there's a place for them today. And I agree. There is no real need. You can't hide behind, you know, we need them for education. No, we don't. You know, we live in a digital world. There's no reason. And actually, all of the money that's put into keeping animals in captivity, they should be putting that money into breeding them in their natural inhabitant. So anyway, she's working more and more with her father. She's going to the Gabon, really excited she is. She's going to, she'll see some of the gorillas that she grew up.
Oh gosh, that's so special.
She's going to be 18 this year and she's obviously still studying, but she's very passionate and wants to be a spokesperson about conservation and animals for her generation, because you know, let's be honest, a lot of these, the way we've been communicated to with conservation, I mean, I grew up watching all those wildlife shows, they're a bit boring. So I think we do need a young voice to educate and to show the way and change the story. And that's what she's on a mission to do. So,
well, I think there probably is no one better versed than her to be able to do this. I mean, she's lived it her entire life.
Her relationship with these animals is really special and it's quite unique. I mean, it really is something that I've never seen. So she spends a lot of time in her relationship with these gorillas. You know, she's probably the youngest woman, if not one of the only women in the world, to go in with silverback gorillas.
Do they film it all? What great footage.
They are actually exploring, and they've got all sorts of various producers and things wanting to maybe document and follow some of their journey, which I know they're considering, but that's obviously not the reason why they're doing this. But it would be a way of actually educating and getting the message out and showing the work that they are doing, because it's very important work.
So important.
It's really so important. They're so amazing. Yeah, it's really beautiful. All these species that they're adapting and they're doing well and they're being sent back. I think Damien, Freya's father, is sending, I mean, I'm just listening to fag ends on the telephone, you know, little bits and pieces, but they're sending back a whole herd of elephants to the wild. It's never been done before. They've just sent cheetahs back. You know, they're constantly reintroducing.
This makes me so happy. This, honestly, I'm the biggest animal person. I think animals generally are much nicer than people. So I'm a huge, this makes me just filled with joy to hear all of this. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how people can't like animals, because
People that don't like animals, I think, are pretty soulless.
Well, we coexist on this planet.
Exactly.
And I do a lot of work with the elephant family and actually on projects for coexistence, because the elephants are one of my favorite species. And so whilst the Aspinall Foundation, which is the foundation that my daughter and her father are involved in, and it's a family foundation, they're sending African elephants back to the wild. My work with the elephant family is very much about the Asian elephant. And we've created these beautiful elephant sculptures and things, actually. And our plan is to bring them to America to show and raise awareness for this coexistence project, which is to create corridors so that the elephants can get around freely without destroying farmers' land, because obviously with deforestation, and it's more difficult for them to coexist between humans and animals. And we're trying to bring that back together by creating signals systems and corridors for them to move around freely. But so that's what we're working on.
Oh, Donna, this is just so interesting to hear. I'm so happy you're able to share all of this with us, because it's actually quite unique. And, you know, it's such important work. It's such important work. Protecting species that are becoming extinct, and, you know, the work that you're doing personally, it's just so important, honestly.
Well, it's such a lovely thing to be involved in.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, we love all of our matriarchs, Tara. So part of the elephant family, part of the project is we are enrolling all of these amazing women to be matriarchs, because our whole project is to celebrate the matriarch, the female, and her important role in her herd. So this matriarch program is, we are looking for amazing women to get involved and sponsor and look after one of our elephants. And then hopefully they're all going to go on the tour. And we want these women to drive these elephants around America.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. Well, you must keep me posted on that, won't you?
Yeah. You can join our matriarch.
Well, that would be a sheer honor.
And anybody, any woman that wants to get involved and be a matriarch for these incredible, incredible elephants.
That would be an honor.
We would love, you can just send me a message on Instagram or anything, because it's a wonderful, and on their website, you can get more information on it. It's such a great...
So actually, will you just tell us your Instagram handle and also the website, so that if anyone listening wants to find out more, they know where to go?
Absolutely. So my Instagram is Donna Rare, So that's Donna Air, as in A-I-R. And then the Elephant Family is just at elephantfamily.com.
Perfect. Okay.
So you can check it out.
So I thoroughly urge everyone listening to go and check all of this out further and to get involved as much as you can, because it's just such a special, special cause and really is.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to get involved with the work that my daughter's doing with the Aspinall Foundation, they could check out her Instagram, which is Freya Aspinall, and the aspinallfoundation.com. Aspinall. So Freya Aspinall is A-S-P-I-N-A-L-L. And the Aspinall Foundation is the Aspinall Foundation, which is again Aspinall, A-S-P-I-N-A-L-L.
Fabulous. Thank you, Donna. Thank you. To finish with then, you know, obviously you've had such a exciting life and a successful career. So what's next is the question. I mean, I guess obviously you're looking for that, you know, script to excite you. In 5 years' time, where would you like to be?
Well, it's sort of whilst, yes, one, I have had sort of a lengthy career already and definitely an exciting life. I sort of feel like it's just actually about to begin, but in a very different way. So I'm excited. I think this whole lockdown and the whole pandemic has made everybody take a huge step back, and everybody's done. There's a lot of time for reflection. And if this hadn't have happened, we would never have taken that time to really, really dig deep and work out what it is we want next. And where can we do things better and how can we be better? So yeah, where would I like to be in 5 years? Maybe I'd quite like to be in America, actually.
Oh, that house in Malibu you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think I obviously love my home. I love London. But given the fact that my daughter is growing up now and is embarking on all these journeys of her own and is also planning to come to America and share her message, then yeah, it's time. Why not? I think a change of scene would do everyone the world of good right now. And enjoy when we can travel freely again. I think we all will really do it with a newfound respect and appreciation and gratitude to be able to do so. It's such a privilege to be able to see this beautiful planet and as much of it as we possibly can in the time that we have on it in as respectful a way as possible. So that's what I'd like to do, you know, and meet new people along the way. And obviously, before then, though, just hope that everybody stays safe, which is paramount, that we can all respect the rules, wear our masks, get our vaccines and, you know, look after each other the best way we can.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on. Thank you so much for coming on to For Love and Music. It's just been such a joy to chat to you after all this time and looking so well. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And to all of our For Love and Music listeners out there, thanks for tuning in and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph. For more information, you can check out at For Love and Music Official on Instagram, at For Love and Music Official on Facebook, and also visit www.jamartistgroup.com/podcast.